Welcome back, everyone. We're taking a deep dive today, going all the way back to 1757 to explore Edmund Burke's a philosophical inquiry into the origin of our ideas of the sublime and beautiful.
Okay.
It's a long title, but
It is.
It's worth it. And, you know, you might be thinking, why should I care about some 18th century philosopher's take on beauty?
Right.
But trust me, Burke's ideas about why we find things beautiful or awe-inspiring, they're still relevant today.
I think that's right. And it's fascinating how Burke was ahead of his time in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see beauty as just some superficial thing.
Yeah.
He saw it as connected to our emotions, our senses, even our survival instincts.
Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit.
Sure.
So the text talks about the sublime and the beautiful, right?
Yes.
But he doesn't define those in a purely visual way like we might today.
Exactly. For Burke, the sublime wasn't just about seeing something impressive.
Right.
It was about a sense of awe, terror, even a touch of danger.
Oh, okay.
He uses examples like mountain storms or a roaring lion.
Oh, yeah.
Things that make us feel small and vulnerable in the face of overwhelming power.
I can see that. It's like standing on the edge of a cliff.
Yes.
Or watching a massive thunderstorm roll in.
Yeah.
There's a thrill to it, but also that dose of fear.
And Burke called that delightful horror.
Delightful horror.
Which perfectly captures that mix of emotions we feel with the sublime.
I love that term, delightful horror.
Yeah.
Seems paradoxical,
mm-hmm.
but also accurate. So are we just talking about nature here?
Well, not just nature. Burke's ideas apply to other things, too.
Okay.
Like art, architecture, even music.
I see.
Think of a powerful piece of music that gives you chills, or a Gothic cathedral that inspires awe and wonder.
Right.
Those are examples of the sublime created by humans.
That makes me think about those big disaster movies.
Oh, yeah.
The ones with earthquakes and floods. Mm-hmm. We know it's all special effects.
Right.
But there's still that delightful horror.
Exactly.
That sense of being overwhelmed by forces beyond our control.
I think that's a great example. It shows how these ideas are still relevant today.
Okay, so we've got this delightful horror from the sublime.
Right.
What about beauty? How does that fit in?
Well, for Burke, beauty is very different.
Okay.
It's about pleasure, love, delicacy.
Okay.
He believed that smooth, delicate objects evoke relaxation and tranquility.
Okay.
Those are the things we find beautiful.
Interesting.
Think of a landscape, a flower, a bright color.
Mm-hmm.
These things create a sense of ease and harmony.
Right. So it's not just seeing it as beautiful.
Yeah.
It's our bodies actually responding to it.
Exactly. Burke was arguing against the idea that beauty was just about proportions like the golden ratio.
Oh, so he wasn't into those perfectly symmetrical Renaissance paintings.
He might have liked their skill.
Yeah.
But for Burke, it was about the qualities that trigger emotions and sensations.
Interesting.
He asks, why is a rolling landscape more beautiful than a jagged mountain?
Right.
It's because those smooth lines relax us.
Yeah, like we're drawn to that peace and safety.
Exactly.
Whereas a jagged mountain, that might make us a little anxious.
Right. And that leads to one of his most interesting ideas.
Okay.
That our responses to beauty and the sublime are often subconscious, rooted in our biology and survival instincts.
We are survival instincts. How does that tie into like a beautiful sunset?
That's a question Burke grapples with, and it leads to some fascinating insights.
Okay.
Think about it. In a world without modern things, being in tune with nature was key for survival.
Yeah, makes sense.
So those terrified by a roaring lion were less likely to be lunched.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
But what about beauty? How does that tie into self-preservation?
Burke says things we find beautiful, like landscapes or flowers, signaled safety and resources.
Okay.
A flowing stream means fresh water.
I see.
A bright color, a ripe fruit, or a harmless animal.
Okay.
So our appreciation for beauty helped us navigate a dangerous world.
Wow, that's a whole new way to look at it. Makes you think how much of our aesthetic preferences are subconscious.
Yes, influenced by those ancient survival mechanisms.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that explains why we love nature documentaries.
Yeah, they evoke awe and peace.
So it's not just that we find nature beautiful.
Right.
It taps into something deeper.
Exactly. And that's just one example of how Burke's ideas help us understand the world today.
Okay, before we go down that road,
mm-hmm.
there's another interesting part of Burke's work.
Yes.
His thoughts on language.
Yes. His thoughts on language and its connection to the passions.
Yeah. He talks about how words can affect us without creating a clear mental picture.
He argues that words like virtue or justice can make us feel positive, even without a definition.
Okay.
And certain words combined create a sense of sublimity, even without a specific image.
So it's like the sound of the words themselves can create a feeling.
Exactly. Think about words that feel good to say.
Like what?
Lullaby.
Okay.
Serendipity.
Yeah. Or how a speaker can make you cry with just words.
Exactly.
This makes me think about slogans and jingles and ads.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
They play on those associations, trying to make us feel a certain way.
Right. It's like he's giving us a way to see how language is used to change our emotion.
Exactly. And even our behavior.
Okay, but before we get into marketing psychology,
right,
let's get back to Burke and beauty and the sublime.
Okay.
So if I'm understanding this right, our love for an epic movie or a delicate painting is connected to our primal instincts.
In a way, yes.
Okay.
But we need to unpack that more to understand Burke's insight.
Okay, well, let's do it.
He says, art that makes us feel awe, terror, or tranquility hits us harder.
Okay.
Because it connects to those instincts we talked about.
So like a horror movie making our hearts race.
Yes.
It's playing on our fear of the dark and unknown.
Exactly. Ugh. Think about those horror movie things like shadows, creaking doors, feeling watched.
Yeah.
Those tap into our fear of predators in the dark.
Right. A fear that would have been very real for our ancestors.
Exactly.
And like a rom-com that makes us feel good, that appeals to our need for connection.
Exactly. Burke thought beauty, especially in humans, was tied to wanting company and kids. It's not just attraction.
Right.
It's seeing potential for future generations.
So it's not just thinking something is beautiful. Right. Our bodies react to it.
Burke would say those things aren't separate.
Okay.
He thought our physical and emotional responses are connected.
So we don't just think it's beautiful.
Yes.
We have to feel it.
Exactly. Burke uses the word passion for these strong responses.
Okay.
He said passions drive our actions, our judgments, even our art.
This makes me want to change how I look at art.
Really?
I usually try to analyze it.
Okay.
But maybe I should pay attention to my gut reactions.
Burke would like that.
Yeah.
He said tuning into our passions helps us understand ourselves and the world.
So it's like, don't just see the world, feel it.
Yes. Let those feelings guide you.
And that's not just for art, right?
Right. It's nature, people, even everyday things.
So how do we do this?
What do you mean?
Like if I'm on a mountain looking at a view.
Okay.
How do I tap into those deeper feelings?
Burke would say, pay attention to your body. Feel the wind, the vast space, maybe some fear or excitement.
I see.
Notice your breath, your heart rate. Those are clues to your body's response to the sublime.
So it's like mindfulness, but for aesthetics.
Exactly. Instead of just looking or listening.
Yeah.
We actively use our senses and emotions.
This reminds me of something you said about beauty balancing the sublime.
Yes. Can you remind me?
You said they both tap into self-preservation.
Okay. Yes.
Can you talk more about that?
He says the sublime with its terror and vastness triggers an alarm in us.
Like a wake-up call.
Exactly. It reminds us we're not invincible.
Okay.
It makes us face our limits and our place in the world.
So it makes us think about life and protecting ourselves.
Yes. And beauty gives us comfort.
In the face of that.
Think of a flower in the ruins of a building.
Okay.
The flower among the destruction shows hope, resilience, the continuation of life.
Powerful image. So beauty for Burke isn't just looks.
Right.
It's about survival.
Exactly. Beauty gives us peace, harmony, the promise of growth and renewal.
So even when things are hard,
there's still beauty to be found.
Exactly.
This makes me appreciate art and beauty more.
How so?
It's not just decoration or fun.
Right.
It connects to our deepest instincts.
Burke thought art could elevate us, inspire us, console us, even challenge how we see the world.
But it can also be used for bad, right?
He recognized that too.
Like to manipulate us.
Yes, or to support bad ideas.
So we can't just passively watch or listen.
Exactly. We have to engage with art, thoughtfully question its messages.
And think about how it affects us.
Precisely.
Wow, this is a lot to think about.
It is, but it's exciting to see things this way.
It is. Burke's work is like a guide to being human.
It is.
His ideas help us see the complexity of beauty, the sublime, and language.
And that's a journey we all have to take?
Before we finish up, there's one more thing from Burke I want to talk about.
Okay.
He talks about the limits of language.
Yes.
Especially for expressing those feelings of beauty and the sublime.
That's important. Burke knew words could only go so far. So how do we communicate those feelings that are beyond words?
That's a question that's challenged people for a long time.
Right.
But Burke might help us. He said that words can't fully capture the sublime or beautiful.
Yeah.
But they can still evoke those feelings by appealing to our senses and imagination.
Okay, give me an example.
Imagine a poet describing a sunset.
Okay.
They use vivid imagery, metaphors, evocative language,
okay,
to create that feeling of awe and wonder in the reader.
Even if they've never seen that exact sunset.
Right. It's not a literal description.
I see.
It's about creating an experience.
It's like music.
Yes.
It doesn't have words, but evokes powerful feelings.
Exactly. Music is perfect for experiencing the sublime or beautiful without language.
Okay.
A melody can lift you up.
Yeah.
A chord progression can give you chills.
Right.
Those are feelings beyond words.
This makes me think we limit ourselves by thinking communication is just words.
Yes.
But we communicate in so many other ways.
Right. Through art, music, gestures, even silence.
Burke knew about those nonverbal ways of communicating.
He did. He thought they were important for showing what words can't.
This has been amazing.
It has.
I see the world differently now.
How so?
Paying attention to my senses, my feelings, how language and art affect me, even my instincts.
I think that's what Burke wanted.
Yeah.
He wanted people to think critically about their experiences.
Okay.
To question their assumptions and to be more mindful and passionate.
He did that for me for sure. Before we go,
yeah.
You said Burke believed beauty and the sublime aren't in the objects themselves.
Yes.
But in how we see them. Can you say more about that?
That's one of his most important ideas.
What is it?
He says there's no objective beauty or sublimity.
Meaning?
What's amazing to one person might be scary or even gross to another.
So it's all subjective. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Kinda. But Burke goes further.
How?
He says our perceptions are shaped by our experiences, our culture, our education, even our bodies.
Okay, so someone from a city might experience the sublime differently than someone from the country.
Exactly. The city's vastness, the noise, the skyscrapers,
yeah,
those might be awesome to a city person.
Right.
But overwhelming and scary to someone from nature.
So there's no one right way to experience the sublime or the beautiful.
Exactly. It's about how our minds and bodies interact with the world.
That's freeing.
It is.
Yeah.
It lets us see the variety of human experience.
This deep dive into Burke's work has been incredible.
It has.
I have a new way of seeing my reactions to the world.
And a new curiosity about beauty, the sublime, and how we talk about them.
Well said. So listeners, here's something to think about. Burke says, pay attention to your feelings, how your body reacts to the world. So next time you're moved by art, a view, or even words, think about what's happening inside you, what feelings come up, what sensations. You might be surprised by how you connect to the centuries of human experience. Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep, folks. The world is full of beauty and sublimity. Go find it.